Welcome to Night Sky Tourist, a place to learn the night sky, have fun with its ancient stories, meet astronomers and dark sky advocates, and fall in love with the dark. I'm Vicki Dirksen, your host and author of the website and blog, nightskytourist.com. If you've never visited the website, I invite you to stop by after the podcast. Check out some of the great blog articles, browse through the resource page, and sign up for the newsletters. The newsletters have great content that is exclusive for subscribers. Are you ready for an adventure under the night sky? Let's jump right in. There's this one little group of stars that can be seen in the winter night sky that people ask me about all the time. And the question is always the same. Is that the Little Dipper? And they point at this little tiny group of stars. And to their credit, it really does look like the shape of a dipper. But what they're pointing at is a star cluster known as the Pleiades. And it's one of my favorite things in the winter night sky. The Pleiades is not a constellation. It's a little recognizable group of stars inside of a much larger constellation called Taurus. In Greek and Roman mythologies, Taurus is seen as a bull, and the Pleiades sits in the shoulder of the bull. When I first started learning star stories about the constellations and the planets, it was only the Greek and Roman versions that I was learning. And occasionally there would be this ancient Babylonian one thrown in there. And then I stumbled across a Native American star story about the Pleiades told by a Native American man named Wilfred Buck. That one story led me to a completely new perspective of the stars and the role that they played in cultures all around the world for all of human history. So this one, the Pleiades, has a really special place in my heart. In this episode, we're going to let Galileo lead us to his view of the Pleiades, and then we'll get a modern look at it. And I can't let you leave this episode without sharing a few cultural star stories related to this beautiful little star cluster. So get yourself prepped for a bit of time under the stars. Dress for the cold weather, pour a hot drink, and grab a blanket. And I also recommend that you get your stargazing app ready on your phone by opening it, turning down the screen brightness, and setting your phone to night mode that gives your screen that reddish hue. Then gather everyone in your house, turn off all the lights, and I'll meet you outside under the stars in just a minute. Once I started learning the night sky and the motions of the celestial objects, I got interested in how we mark time. I remember getting a really cool watch for my 16th birthday, and I have worn one nearly every day of my life since then. But I didn't understand the astronomical mechanics of time. I have loved learning about the mechanics of celestial timekeeping. I recently wrote a blog article about lunar versus solar calendars. The Gregorian calendar we use today is a solar calendar, but the earliest calendars were based on the cycles of the moon. Is this topic a little bit geeky? For sure. But this is Night Sky Tourist, so I keep it simple and we have lots of fun. I'm not appealing to horologists, just other people like me who are curious and fascinated by the ways that humans learned how to track time. You can read this blog article on lunar versus solar calendars by clicking on the link in the show notes or visit nightskytourist.com and click on the blog tab. The Pleiades is almost directly overhead around 7 p.m. right now. And one of the benefits of an early sunset is that you don't have to stay up late to see all the good stuff. So look directly overhead and see if you can spot a really small group of stars that resembles a tiny dipper. Can you see it? If not, go ahead and use your stargazing app to find it. The Pleiades is what astronomers call an open star cluster, and it's among the closest star clusters to Earth and is easily visible to the naked eye. They're about 444 light years away, which in comparison with many of the other stars, it's rather close to us. 444 light years means that the light coming from the Pleiades tonight left those stars about 444 years ago. So what was happening on Earth 444 years ago? That was in the 1580s. Sir Francis Drake circumnavigated the world. The Gregorian calendar was established and is still used to this day. An 18-year-old William Shakespeare marries 26-year-old Anne Hathaway. The first commercial import of chocolate arrives in Europe. Mary, Queen of Scots, is beheaded. And the city of Hiroshima is founded in Japan. And now, tonight, that light has finally reached your eyes. From where I live in a certified dark sky community near a major metro area, I can see 6 of those stars with the naked eye. But if you're in a really, really dark location and you allow your eyes enough time to adjust to the dark, depending on your eyesight, you might see as many as 14 stars with the naked eye. I've never seen that many, though. Galileo was the first astronomer to look at the Pleiades with a telescope in the year 1610. And when he looked at it, he was like, "Hey guys, guess what? I found that Pleiades has 36 stars grouped together." Today, with our technologically advanced telescopes, we now know there are over 1,000 stars in this cluster. The Pleiades is what astronomers call an open cluster, and the stars in this cluster were all born around the same time, and they came out of this enormous cloud of gas and dust. So they're fairly young in astronomical terms, and they were formed about 100 million years ago. They're super hot and super bright, and this means that they're going to burn out pretty fast. Astronomers estimate that they'll only live for a few hundred million years before they're going to die out. But compare that with our own star, the Sun, which is going to live for billions of years. Now let's dive into the cultural perspective of Pleiades. We inherited the name Pleiades from the ancient Greeks, and it came from a word that means to sail. In the region of the Mediterranean Sea, the season for navigating began with the heliacal rising of this star cluster. What in the heck is heliacal rising? It's the time of year when a celestial object first rises above the eastern horizon at dawn, right before sunrise. Many cultures around the world have some kind of story referring to the Pleiades as 7 sisters. In Greek culture, these 7 divine sisters were the children of Atlas and Pleione. And you probably know Atlas. He was the leader of the Titans who was defeated by Zeus and then condemned to carry the heavens on his back for eternity. In Japan, the Pleiades is known as a cluster of 6 stars, and it's known by its Japanese name, Subaru. Yep, just like the car company, Subaru. In the company's branding, they used this star cluster to represent their origins as the merging together of 5 companies into 1 new company. And this is depicted in their 6-star logo. So while different cultures around the world have a mythology attached to this little group of bright stars, my favorite comes from North America's indigenous people. The Cree tribe see their origin story in the Pleiades. And when they look up at the night sky, they see Grandmother Spider right above the Pleiades. And the Pleiades is seen as a hole in the sky. Their story goes like this. Grandmother Spider was in charge of the doorways or portals or wormholes. And these wormholes led to alternate realities because we are only one reality that exists. Grandmother Spider filtered out all that came and went through these portals, and this is where they get the idea of dream catchers. On the other side of the hole in the sky, or Pleiades, beams of light roam the cosmos and they're looking for new experiences. And Star Woman was one of these, and she was roaming the cosmos when she came across the hole in the sky. And she looked through it and she saw Earth and she decided she wanted to check it out. And she tried to come through that hole, but she couldn't do it. And she realized that she needed help. That's when she spotted Grandmother Spider, another of her kind, sitting in her place over the Milky Way to keep watch of all the portals. So Star Woman asked Grandmother Spider for assistance so that she could visit this new and exciting place called Earth. Grandmother Spider said that there were three conditions she had to meet to be allowed to enter. One, she had to take a physical form. Two, she had to bring a gift to remind her where she came from. And three, she couldn't stay long. So Star Woman agreed to the terms. So Grandmother Spider sent a single strand of webbing through the hole in the sky, and she lowered Star Woman to Earth. And when Star Woman touched the Earth, she took a physical form as a human being, and that's us. She was the first human being. The gift that she brought was a star blanket, and the original star blankets of these people had 7 points to represent the 7 stars of the Pleiades, and this was to remind everyone where they came from. And after Star Woman came, many others came after her, and eventually there were many people on Earth. Now remember, she was only allowed to stay for a short time, but how long is that for a being of energy? Well, she stayed a lifetime, and then she left. The people who were still here wanted to honor Star Woman for being the first person to come here, so they added an extra point to the star blanket. And that is why modern star blankets that you can purchase have 8 points on them. And that single strand that Grandmother Spider used to lower Star Woman to the Earth is seen as an umbilical cord, and that's how all people get here. We are all spirit, and we all come here to learn how to be human. And once we learn, we continue our journey and we go somewhere else in this vast cosmos. The elders say that Creator had a thought and everything came into being, and his thought processes are still going on. So creation is still expanding. And that means that space is never ending and we can never imagine all that there is out there. And that is the story I love to think about now every time I look at the Pleiades. It is my favorite origin story of all. But I also love the Nez Perce story of the Pleiades because I grew up in Nez Perce County in northern Idaho. And in that story, there were 7 sisters, and they were all immortal beings, but one of them fell in love with a mortal man. And he did what mortal men do. He died. And the sister was just overwhelmed with grief over his death. And her sisters kept mocking her, saying, "Why are you so upset about the death of a mortal man? Get over it." But she just got sadder and sadder, and they mocked her more and more. So in her shame, she pulled the sky over herself to hide behind its veil. And that is why you can only see 6 stars today. The Maori culture of New Zealand called this star cluster Matariki. They mark the start of their new year, which is based on a lunar calendar, when they see the heliacal rise of the Pleiades, or Matariki. They also call their new year celebration Matariki. In episode 85, I chatted with Dwayne Hamaker, who wrote the book The First Astronomers, and he explained how indigenous cultures often use their star stories to retain and pass on vital information and astronomical knowledge. The Maori culture used constellations and their lunar cycle for navigation, planting and harvesting, marking the seasons, and to know when it was spawning and migration time for the fish. Matariki, or the Pleiades, is visible from New Zealand for most of the year, and they've based their entire calendar on its position in the sky and what was happening in nature at the time of its different positions. If you get an opportunity to look at the Pleiades through binoculars or a telescope, you're going to be rewarded with a view of many stars. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode, or visit nightskytourist.com/87. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Night Sky Tourist Podcast. If you enjoy the Night Sky Tourist Podcast, please show your support by subscribing to it and giving us 5 stars. Your ratings are really important to me, and they help more people discover the podcast. Be sure to visit nightskytourist.com for great articles and resources. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter for exclusive content. Until next time, keep looking up.